Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC fans. Frank here, Hobo to my right.
Yes, indeed. We had a reasonably good weekend this weekend. We didn't play, so we sort of had a, you know, it's like having a tie, though. You know, you don't feel good or bad.
Well, we got well. The Wahoos got well.
And hopefully they've had an extra week to prep for the mighty Pitt Panthers coming up this Saturday at 12:30.
The good news is Donnie Dowling, a former walk-on wide receiver, is now off IR, and he's now available to full practices and available to play this coming weekend at Pitt. So that's nice to hear. He's a good, tall wide receiver.
And you just got some surprising news about Trey Nicholson.
Well, this is a shocker because I had heard for several days that Trey Nicholson might miss the rest of the season. So it comes as a little bit of surprise that Coach London today announced at his press conference at 11 o'clock today that he is now available, and that's good news. He missed the Boise State game, and I'm certain that the adjustments that the coaching staff had to make just prior to that game really hurt them.
He was a late scratch, wasn't he?
I think he was, yeah. And they weren't ready for that. Also, former starter and recent super sub offensive tackle Jay Whitmire, number 77 in your program, is now starting, and that's good because he's very reliable, he's very experienced, and it seems like his back has finally healed up, and goodness gracious, Virginia needs him on the field. On the flip side, unfortunately, offensive guard Ryan Dahl is out for the season, and that is a blow because I think he started about 7, maybe 8 games last year, and he's a pretty good large guard.
Well, as you talk about these injuries, that's a good opportunity to talk or at least indicate later in the show. We'll have our friend Jody Smith from Ortho Virginia on to talk a little bit more about some of the medical issues. But Frank has really put together a great show tonight. We're going to start with a friend of the program, John Copper, talk a little football with the former Virginia linebacker. And then to make Hobo happy, you even included some basketball tonight. Former Virginia great, and we overuse that, but in this case it really is true. Jeff Lamp will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And we also have another one of Frank's favorites, the head coach of the defending national champion Virginia tennis team, Brian Bolin, will be joining us in the first half hour. So terrific show tonight.
You can't top that lineup.
I wouldn't think so. Not well, two dynamite hosts too.
You got football, you got basketball, you got tennis, and you've got Jody Smith, who's one of the top orthopedic specialists in all of Virginia.
And so, a terrific engineer, Jesse, who's leaving us.
I can't believe it.
Going down to Wavy TV.
This is very disappointing. We've enjoyed having Jesse on the show for years. He's kept us straight. He's taught us a few things. Sometimes we've giggled and laughed at the weather conditions and phone calls.
Well, the one thing we know, neither you nor I will be leaving for a TV gig.
I don't think that's happening.
We're clearly made for radio.
Well, speak for yourself, Hobo, but I want to give Jesse a high five because
he's been great.
He's been a constant.
He's been a rock, other than that VCU stuff.
Yeah, we've had to put up with that a little
and
bit.
And the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens.
He hasn't said much about the Orioles lately, I'll say that.
Well, we got to give Jesse a high five, though. Going to Wavy TV 10 is fantastic. That's the NBC Fox affiliate down there in the Virginia Beach area, and what a great station. And that's a great hire for them, and I know Jesse will knock the cover off the ball.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the words.
All right, let's get on with the show. Hobo, we're looking for John Copper. While we wait for John to find the phone number somewhere, John was a middle linebacker on the UVA football team. He played, I believe, from 2005 to 2008.
That is correct.
And from 06, 07, and 08, John Copper, a lightly recruited player from the Roanoke Valley, he was the leading tackler for your Virginia Cavaliers. He racked up 301 combined tackles during his time. And although that number is not necessarily comparable to Charles McDaniel or someone like that, it's very steady. He was very reliable. He was very smart. And we look forward to him joining us here shortly. More news about the football game this coming weekend up at Heinz Field. That's also home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're their home games. Hobo's favorite place when he's not in Charlottesville.
Well, Pittsburgh, you know, now the one thing about it, Heinz Field gets a lot of use between the Steelers and the Panthers. We're up there early enough in the season that they probably haven't had to resod yet. I think we may have. No, I thought we had John.
Bit of misfire.
A little misfire. He may have to call back in. But at any rate, yeah, certainly. And somebody indicated maybe, you know, the weather's supposed to be great all week, but they may have more showers up there in the Pittsburgh area on Saturday. So some of these teams are going to get tired playing in the rain, although it didn't seem to bother Pitt down in Blacksburg over the weekend.
Well, you know, that was a somewhat of a surprising win in that Pittsburgh lost their star running back before the season began, Connor, who is one of those guys that takes 3 men to tackle him. And for them to beat the Hokies without their best player says a lot. Now
Well, their defense played extraordinarily well, and that's certainly going to be one of the things that Virginia's going to have to prepare for. They really put a lot of pressure on the Virginia Tech quarterback, Motley, and sacked him 7 or 8 times. So the Virginia offensive line is going to have to step up. And we have Mr. Copper on the line, so go ahead, Frank.
Well, we're delighted to have John Copper, former UVA middle linebacker, joining us now. John, are you there?
Hey, Frank, I sure am. Thanks for having me on.
We have you. John, this is Hobo. I appreciate not getting an acknowledgement from you there. But at any rate, I'm just tell me about the football team. You know, obviously there's a fair amount of disappointment, particularly coming off that Boise State game. They've had the off week. What do you expect from this team when they go to Pitt on Saturday?
Well, I think they're going to be able to play with Pitt. You know, I think we've shown that we can compete on the field. You know, Boise was not a good night any way you look at it. But I'm confident that the guys will come out and show up and play, and it'll be a competitive game, unlike last weekend.
What do you think the coaches will have emphasized during this 2-week practice period?
Well, anytime you come off of two things. You've got a bye week, and then you came off a pretty bad defeat. And, you know, the way it was when I was there, the way we played, whenever we came off a bad defeat like that, you know, we kind of went back to the basics, back to kind of team culture, you know, how's the team going to respond together, stick together. And, you know, and then a bye week is usually similar. You know, usually during a bye week, you're kind of going back to the basics, you're getting guys healed up. So I'm looking forward to come out with a lot of energy, guys being very fresh. You know, London does a good job on the bye weeks that they've had in the years past of really letting the guys heal up, get ready to go. So like I said, I'm looking forward to them being able to play and compete and look pretty good on the field.
John, this is Frank, and thank you for joining us tonight, as usual. First off, Micah Kaiser is now the starting middle linebacker for the Cavaliers. What have you seen in his transition in these first 4 games that you like, and maybe some of the things you know that he needs to work on? And as a whole, the linebackers themselves are all new. How are they progressing?
Yeah, so I've watched Micah Kaiser in particular with interest. He's done, just in my opinion, he's done a phenomenal job all around. You know, watching him play, you can tell that he's a student of the game, but also I've got a couple of college students that I know on the team that have interacted with him, and basically they say that he is a student of the game. He's one of the smartest guys on the field and really studies things. And I think that's evident, him being able to come in and play the amount that he's played and do extremely well. So I've been just in watching him. I've actually connected with him on Twitter. I don't think Frank and Hobbs out there. You guys aren't on Twitter yet, are you?
I am, but I tend to use it just to sort of follow others, not to post.
Just to follow, yeah, I got you. So you know, I like I said, I've been very impressed with his play and how he's doing. I think as long as he stays healthy, he's going to end up putting in a really solid year at linebacker. I just pulled up his stats. I mean, he's 39 tackles and 4.5 sacks through 4 games. So that's a pretty tremendous output. And, you know, I don't see that slowing down through the rest of the year.
On the flip side, most teams that the Cavaliers have played this year have been able to run the football almost between the guard and guard holes. And Notre Dame did it with reckless abandon. Off the top of my head, I remember a lot of runs for 3, 4, 5 yards by even Weeman Mary, which was a shocker. And UCLA was able to run pretty much everywhere when they felt like it. Talk about the other linebackers, Bradshaw being one of them, and Virginia has rotated a number of other guys out there on the perimeter, although I have seen Mike Moore in kind of a stand-up linebacker near the line of scrimmage on one end of the line, particularly on the right side of the defense.
Yeah, well, a couple of things you got to look. One, you know, the Boise State game getting down so far, I mean, that's the game plan gets scrapped at some point, so you really don't get to see an accurate picture. I mean, I remember, you know, hate to bring up sore games, but I remember we went up to UConn 1 year when I was playing. I think that was 08 or maybe even 06, and it just was not pretty. And then, you know, by the time you get into the second quarter, the game plan is scrapped because you're just looking at how do we kind of clog the holes that are there. You know, one thing with UVA's defense, with the way that it's being run, you know, tend to do it's a little different than when I was there, Frank. When I was there, we ran a 3-4. You know, even with London's influence, we did, you know, some more blitzing and different things. But other than a handful of games, there were not a whole lot of moving pieces. So being in the system, you know, you were able to kind of really know where you fit. And, you know, what I've seen with just like what you were saying, some of the run things is just some of the pieces aren't fitting exactly where they're supposed to be. And that comes with experience. And that also just comes with, you know, matching up with the game plan week in and week out. So, you know, those are things that I feel like throughout the course of the year are going to continue to improve. It's definitely an area that you know, if we're going to be competitive down the stretch, which I think we will be, you know, Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech are having down years. We've got a handful of games on the schedule that, you know, frankly, the people haven't played, or, you know, they've played a couple very lower tier teams or 1AA teams. They haven't had near the schedule that we've had. So I'm pretty confident we can be competitive throughout the rest of the year. But that's one of the things you got to look at is being able to, one, have the game plan in place, and two, the players execute it to where there aren't pieces missing. Because basically defense, unlike what it looks like sometimes, is just you've got a player that's really making plays. Really, for one player to make a play, you usually have to have all 10 or at least, you know, 6 or 7 of the other guys on the field being exactly where they're supposed to be at the right time so that one or two players can make the play.
It was reported today that defensive coordinator John Tenuta was now going to be on the sidelines as opposed to being up in the box. What is the purpose of doing that, and what positives do you see coming out of that?
You know, the one thing about a coach being able to be on the sideline as opposed to in the press box is being able to make adjustments, but also really lead the kind of shifts of emotion that happen in a game in real time. Whereas when you're in the press box, which, you know, there was 1 year that Al Golden spent a little bit of time in the press box when I was there. You know, it's just there's a disconnect between the person making the play, the calling the plays, and the players on the field and their ability to react and give the type of feedback they need. So I'm always in favor of the coach or the primary coach that's influencing the play calling being on the sideline with the players. I think it's a morale boost. I think it's an energy boost. And you're able to get a much better sense in real time of what's going on after a different drive or after a handful of plays. So John, I think that's a positive thing.
I'm sorry. We got about a minute left before we got to go to break. By the way, we're visiting with John Copper, former Virginia linebacker. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Pitt-Virginia Tech game, but I was certainly impressed with Pitt's defense, particularly their pass rush. Are we going to be able to handle the pressure that they're going to try to put on Matt Johns?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, when I've watched the games this year, I've watched them from a defensive focus. I have not seen or I have not watched with much interest our offensive line. I know that's so I may not be the best one to answer your questions, but I've looked at it. I've been watching the guys on defense flying around and that side of it.
John, one of the things that has been talked about quite a bit in press conferences this year was communication between the coaches on the sideline and in the box and getting the players on the field, particularly on defense, in the right position and in the right formation, if you will. Talk about maybe how Tenuta can better effectively do that now that he would be on the sideline.
Well, you know, that's the thing. So when I was at UVA, we had a few different connections like that in terms of who was actually making the calls and where people were on the sidelines. But 2007, Coach Groh did a lot of the actual defensive play calling. Mike London did some of it as the D coordinator. But London was right there in real time on the sideline. And that, in my opinion, was the best year that we had. And that dynamic of having the coach, whether they're the primary coach or the secondary coach, that's making those calls right there on the field. And there were times that he was able to yell onto the field and get us aligned properly, or at least, call a timeout or something, because he's right there and he's got a much better view of it as it's unfolding right there. So again, I think that's a very positive step. And I think it'll help with the players and the dynamics, the communication with the coaches, all of that.
John, we, as always, appreciate your being with us. And tonight in particular, we appreciate your optimism. You're getting us a little buoyed here for the rest of the season and the fact that hopefully the Hoos will be competitive starting this Saturday and going through the rest of the season. Thanks for taking a few minutes to call in.
Yeah, you got, like I said, Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech have three wins between them. Syracuse, UNC, and Duke have played two, Western Michigan-type teams each on their schedule. I am optimistic. I think we can be competitive the rest of the year.
Well, we hope you're correct. We'll have you back later in the year and find out. But anyway, John Copper with us tonight. We're going to go to our first break now. When we come back, we will be joined by head tennis coach Brian Bolin. Stay tuned.